you by Squarespace.com. Go to Squarespace.com and use offer code Duncan to get 10% off a beautiful, powerful website. It's that time again.
The Squirrelsa Podcast is sliding down your brain tube to lay some soft gelatinous jellyfish-shaped sonic seeds deep in the warm, musty meadows of your brain. His scoliosis points in the direction of Mecca, and his bald spots got a tramp stamp. Subliminal message, nip, zip, wop, doing keys to the silence and doesn't care what spread those armpits wide and let bats fly out of your butt, bitch. Because here he comes, like a bailing baby rolling into paradise. And his raspy lesbian voice hack down your spinal treasure trail and shove those earbuds deep in your hole. It's Duncan.
Hi friends, it's me, Duncan Trussell, and you're listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour Podcast. I welcome you. I've got to go on the road tomorrow. I'm flying up to Winnipeg, and that means that I've got a ton of stuff I have to do to prepare for the trip, which means I don't have time to do any kind of opening monologue, but I don't need to do one because the ultimate guest of all time is here, the sweet, perfumed, lotioned Ari Shaffir. So we're going to dive right into it, but first, some quick business. ISIS should not have a better website than you. This episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour Podcast is brought to you by the White Wizards at Squarespace.com. Squarespace is a place where you can make simple, powerful, and beautiful websites for only $8 a month, and you can start a free trial right now with no credit card. There's never been a greater time in human history to start a business. In the old days, if you wanted to start a business, you had to bribe City Hall. You had to give donuts to cops and build some brick-and-mortar store jutting out of the time-space continuum, quite often in a part of a city where there was a 95% chance that the mafia was going to drag your ass over the cash register and tap dance on your balls. But no more. Do you have a great idea for a business? I've said it before, I'll say it again. I know someone who makes money selling her socks online. Think about that the next time you find yourself moaning over your horrible financial state. There's an entrepreneur out there who has managed to convert her stinky socks into cold, hard cash. If she could do that, I guarantee that you could figure out a way to transform a website into a money tree, or at least something that gives you enough money to buy the booze you've been pouring all over that aching, dark horror in your heart that is filled with unaddressed pain and the fear of death. This is only $8 a month. They've got a responsive design. Every website comes with a free online store, and they have 24/7 support, which I have tried out, and it completely works. They are very, very good at getting back to you if you have any kind of problem building your website, but you probably won't because it's really easy to build websites on Squarespace. If you go to Squarespace right now and you use the offer code Duncan, you will get 10% off your first purchase. And this is a great way to show your support for the podcast by supporting this cool company. It's an amazing time in human history. This stuff didn't exist before. There was no Squarespace. We didn't have the opportunity to just make a beautiful website by clicking a few buttons for $8 a month. You had to get on Adderall. You had to suck back speed or get hooked on crystal meth as you tried to learn HTML. And this would lead you down a bad road because inevitably you'd turn into one of those early 2000 style pseudo web designers, which I'm ashamed to say that I was. It's an awful thing, man. You don't want to get sucked into that dark, winding road that starts with Craigslist and ends with some guy with a giant greasy neck beard shoving and thrusting his crotch into your mouth in the middle of the night as he babbles about the fact that you haven't paid him what you were supposed to for the subpar crap website he made for your fruit dispensary business. Do you want that? Do you want to smell the musty, oily pubic glands of some angered, psychotic, road rage style web designer as he lowers his taint into your nose, screaming that you have to pay him another $300 for the awful HTML digital extrusion that now on a daily basis humiliates you and makes you seem like a subpar businessman? You don't want that. Go to squarespace.com today. $8 a month and you can create a beautiful, powerful website with commerce. You can also create some of the greatest prank websites of all time, and you can try it out without using a credit card. So go to squarespace.com, use offer code Duncan, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. Much thanks to Squarespace for supporting the DTFH. Or on the 4th of March, I'm going to be in Winnipeg with Johnny Pemberton. I'm going to be in St. Paul on the 5th. That's sold out. Madison, Wisconsin on the 6th with Daniele Bellelli. Chicago with David McLean. Columbus with Emil Amos on the 8th. Chicago on the 7th. Madison on the 6th. Chicago's sold out too. There are a few tickets left for Winnipeg, Madison, and Columbus. Get those tickets right away. They're going fast. Last I checked for Winnipeg, there was about 30 tickets left. So you probably want to get them online. You don't want to just show up at the door. And that goes for all the other clubs. Just get them in advance. I never do it either. I don't blame you for not doing it. And whatever. I hope you come to the show. Ugh, I hate doing that. Get the tickets in advance. I feel like I'm selling goddamn Oriental rugs out of some downtown Los Angeles warehouse. There's lots of other great ways to support this podcast that don't involve dragging your meat body to a show. You can go through our Amazon portal located at DuncanTrussell.com. The next time you're shopping on Amazon, bookmark that portal, go through the portal, buy something awesome. I highly recommend picking up some Alpha Brain. I'm not sponsored by Onnit in any way, shape, or form. And I actually go through Amazon when I'm buying Alpha Brain because I love this stuff. It gives me what I consider a kind of low-level Adderall buzz. And I'm embarrassed to ask the folks at Onnit to send me the stuff for free. So I just go through Amazon. I recommend that stuff. If you want a nice nootropic blast, it goes well with caffeine, a shot of espresso, and some Alpha Brain. Hallelujah. You can go through our Amazon portal and we'll get a small percentage of whatever it is that you buy. And we also have t-shirts, posters, and lots of cool merch at DuncanTrussell.com at the shop. So I hope you will go and look at some of that stuff. We've got some really cool mugs and a badass shirt designed by Los Angeles artist Ron Rigi. Okay, that's it. No more business. Today's guest is one of my best friends on planet Earth. He's a hilarious comedian who's got a show running on Comedy Central right now called This Is Not Happening. You can also segment on that you can watch on YouTube where I talk about a terrible acid trip I had. You can pick up a copy of his special paid regular by going to his website, arishafir.com, and I highly recommend checking out his awesome podcast, Skeptic Tank. Okay, everybody, please spread those heart legs and allow my dear friend Ari Shaffir to come plunging into your reproductive organs. Welcome, Ari Shaffir.
Bro,
hey, bro.
Polly asked me about my show.
We're recording.
Oh,
don't let people know that Polly Shore says the word pussy. It's gonna shock the world.
How's the show, bro? I'm like, it's pretty good, man. I've seen some good stories. How's the pussy? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, savages. Ari, what is happening in the world? We have an emerging police state.
Yeah, did you see the Chicago thing?
No, I didn't. What is it?
What? They're running a Blackwater type site?
What? Now, can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because I have not explored that. I don't even know what that is.
Okay, well, I've read a lot of headlines on the subject. And what it is we're interrogating people. There was a CIA style, CIA slash Gestapo style. That goes hand in hand now. People are saying those words are interchangeable. CIA style and Gestapo style, they mean the same thing.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. So a CIA-style just warehouse where they would arrest people, not let them call their lawyers or anyone they know, just keep them in there for months while they're trying to, like, coerce.
How do they get the right to do that? Like, how does that work legally for them?
I think there is none. I think there's no legal basis for that. But the thing is, you don't need a legal basis to do something if you know there's no punishment.
Right.
If all they'll make you do is stop doing it. I never paid my SAG dues on time. Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
They had no late payments.
Yeah.
And so every commercial I shot, pretty much, unless I shot one like a week after I shot another one.
Yeah.
They would say, hey, you're Station 11. That's, I think, what it was called. Station 11. That means you haven't paid your dues. You're not allowed to work until you pay your dues. And it's like, okay, cool. I'll come down and pay them. Or you get like 3 days to pay them. And they're like, why didn't you pay your dues? I'm like, because no late fees. What incentive would I possibly have? And they're like, well, now you have to come pay. I'm like, yeah, but I would have had to do this errand anyway.
Right.
So why shouldn't I do it? I don't know. Why shouldn't I continue to not late pay?
But these cops, there's got to be, like, now there's public outcry. The Chicago Police Department is all over the news.
Robert Emanuel says, like, that's crazy. It's such a black mark on them. They'll shut it down.
But do you think Rahm Emanuel knows about these things?
Who knows? But I just know that if you don't punish people that do things wrong, don't publicly punish them. Like that TSA guy that detained that dude for fucking however many hours in Philadelphia, I think. And he's still working there. And then he lied in court about what the guy did. And he's still working there. They should publicly show pictures of that. Like, hey, here's a guy. Anyone who has power, the police, if there's a crooked cop, and most of the cops aren't crooked, then they should really hold up posters of the crooked one and say, look how we punished him.
Right.
This guy's doing 10 years in Leavenworth now.
Right. This guy has...
We're on your side.
Maybe he
was forced to retire and he gets his full pension. Or we won't say a word about it. Like,
right.
Well, whatever happened with that? You should publicize that majorly if you did the right thing.
You have to do that, because if you don't do that...
We'll just assume you guys keep doing this shit.
Right. And why wouldn't it keep happening? And do you think that's the nature of power?
Yeah, man. I thought about this on the way over here. It's like, have you ever lied to get your way?
Yes.
Yeah, I have. Like, probably hundreds of times.
Right.
I mean, I told... What's his name today? That I wanted him to meet me over here. But he's like, tell me when you get there and I'll go. But I'm like, when I get there, I'm going to start this podcast. So it was my weed dealer. So I said,
all a joke.
Yeah.
All a joke. Part of the brand. Right.
So I said, I'm there, but I was still 15 minutes away. Because I wanted him to leave and meet me there right when I got here.
Right. So you're saying, you know, this is the saying.
Of course you lie to get your way.
The saying is, as above, so below. It means if you want to understand the way things work in the upper echelons, look at the way things work in the lower echelons.
Yeah, humans are humans.
And you'll see that it's that way all the way through. So the conspiracy theorists point to this monolithic organized power as though it's somehow separate from the way things work in everyday life.
Yeah, in everyday life. Your fucking coworker talks shit about you to your boss to get ahead.
That's right.
I mean, not everyone does it, but the same percentages of your coworkers who are shitty are the same percentage of government people who are shitty.
When I worked
at their best.
When I worked at the summer camp, and it was really cool because I went there as a kid and I kept...
Camp Happy Trails?
Camp
Happy Trails in North Carolina.
Camp Happy Trails. Camp Treasure Trail.
It's a picture of like the bottom of pubes running up to a belly button. It looks like a lake.
It was I went there every year, and then I became a counselor in training and a counselor. Yeah. But when you're at a place for your whole life, there's certain rules that you consider to be unbreakable, sacred rules. And I remember when I became a CIT, and then I remember when I became a counselor. And part of the camp is like there's a nap time for the kids. So like, I don't know, at 1 o'clock, the kids all take a nap. But I remember I was like, it's nap time for the kids. I'm a counselor. I have bosses, you know, I'm working for people. And there's a knock at the cabin door. And it's one of the guys who runs the camp, one of the upper guys, the activity director, another guy, and they're like, come outside, Duncan. So, like, I come out of the cabin, they're like, let's go float on the lake on an inner tube.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? I mean, this is, what? You're just going to, this is.
But we're supposed to be watching the kids sleep.
There was someone there watching the kids when we left, but still it was like, oh. That I could do, I'm allowed? You mean you guys do, you mean
this
there's...
This wasn't part of the training?
This wasn't what we, and that, so to...
This wasn't what we're being paid to do.
I always think about that, because it's just an innocent thing. Floating on the lake isn't going to hurt anybody. Someone's still watching the kids, but it was still outside of what the job description was, and it was still technically breaking
the
rule.
It was more fun for you to do that.
More fun. So if a summer camp that's happening, why wouldn't it be happening with senators? Yeah. Why wouldn't it be happening with congressmen?
I think reason people think it couldn't is because you sort of place from when you're little, like, this is government. It's like this almost like sanctimonious thing where it's like they are good people.
Oh, right.
But But as you get older, you realize, like, that's a guy who's my age.
Yeah.
He's not one of the older people. He's like,
yeah,
he's 40. Yeah. He's just some guy. What do you mean? He had a business 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he does this?
That's a guy.
Yeah, it's not like a priest who, like,
not a superhero,
devoted his life to this. This guy's devoted a few years to getting stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a guy. And the president's a guy. And the people who work for the president are just guys and gals. And the people in the Supreme Court are just guys and gals. And the whole thing is just people who are like any other people. Yeah. And that's a really important thing to realize when you're considering the idea of the great police state or the growing police state. You're looking at a real problem, which is that people in positions of power write the rules.
Yeah.
And they're not going to write the rules so that they get in trouble by the rules. They're going to write the rules so
everyone after them gets in trouble for, like, who turns themselves in?
Yeah. It's not going to, it's just not going to happen. And that is the concept of democracy. The concept of democracy is we have a steam valve release for the boilers. You ever read The Shining?
No, I saw the movie.
Well, in The Shining, and I don't even think they mentioned this in the movie. In the book, The Shining, one of his...
Boiler room? I don't remember that from the movie.
One of his main jobs at the Overlook Hotel was watching the boiler, and there because the gauge slides is what they said, which means that if you don't watch the boiler and get this and like release the pressure in there regularly, the whole fucking thing can explode.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful symbol in a book about a guy who's got a serious fucking rage disorder living alone in a fucking
steam valve problem.
Yeah, steam valve problem. In the same way.
Oh, that's a good.
It's a good, it's a great fucking symbol.
Fiction's so good sometimes.
Stephen King's so great. But that steam valve release.
Oh, it was Fitzgerald.
The Shining's Stephen King.
Okay.
The steam valve release. How dare.
I'm joking. I'm joking. Yeah, go ahead.
The steam valve release concept applies to this fucking country.
Yeah.
The idea is voting is supposed to be a nonviolent revolution.
Every time.
And the whatever the people want is what happens. The wheels spin. Things will shift. But that's what the people want. The people are running the fucking show.
And the people want voting reform, too. But the only people that are going to put that into place for the people are the people who have, like, fucked up.
But this is where it brings us to where you and Russell Brand seem to agree.
Yeah.
You guys both talk about wanting some kind of revolution.
No, I see one coming.
I think you don't want it. This is not something you want.
No, there's so many people are going to die.
Describe to me what this revolution is going to look like. How does it play out?
Guerrilla warfare. Anyone who thinks it's... I used to think that too. It was like, how could you possibly take on a tank? The U.S. government has the army of a... Yeah, it's like, well, they're not going to fight on a battlefield. They're going to be... Here's what you need. Let's say you have 3,000 people you've ever met in your life that you kind of know. You know, maybe you know their name. You'd be like, hey, what's that guy's name again? Just that much.
Yeah.
Maybe 3,000 people. If one out of those 3,000 people says, yeah, I'm going to take up arms.
Yes.
I'm going to take a gun. And if somebody asks me to murder someone who's in power, who's stopping us from getting our way, or like that guy who shot up the TSA, or the guy who lit himself on fire in front of the White House. If one out of 3,000 of those people say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. That is an army, a guerrilla army of 300 million people in this country. So 3,000, 30,000, 300,000, 3 million, 30 million, 300 million. Five zeros. 100,000 people. 100,000 soldiers in this country.
Right. So you're saying...
And they're not on a battlefield. They're just walking by some congressman.
Right.
And they're just going to stab them.
Do you know about the Weather Underground?
Mm-mm. And I know there's people that are also, of those 3,000 people, some of them are in the military and they have access to weapons.
Well,
but go ahead. What's the Underground?
So the Weather Underground was a militant organization back in the 60s whose log line or motto was bring the war back home, because they wanted to end the war in Vietnam, but they knew that people in the United States did not know what the devastation of war looked like. So they would place bombs inside government buildings.
Oh.
They would call the government buildings and say, you need to evacuate. We're giving you 2 hours, 3 hours to evacuate, but we're going to blow that fucking building up. And they would detonate these bombs.
Wow.
So they were a militant organization.
They wanted people to see what rubble looks like.
Yeah, they wanted people to see disaster. That was their motto. If you know, because the problem in the United States is that we have no concept of what it means to go to work and come back and your house has been exploded.
Yeah.
We don't know what that looks like. That's what war looks like. We don't know what it's like to go to for the feeling of trying to get food to be associated with the feeling of I might die.
Where some guys like, you know, does I mean, there was no reason to go to Iraq for the war. And he goes, well, based on what happened in 9/11, how many of our people died? Yeah, it's justified. I'm like, no, look at these numbers. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have died, and Iraq wasn't responsible for 9/11. They had nothing. They weren't even involved.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you mean? How does it justify? What? People just, like, don't see it, so they just go, yeah, it all makes sense.
This is why they can't have a draft. Because if they had a draft, then the revolution that you're talking about would be more likely to take place. But because there's no draft,
they're only signing up people who want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're signing up people who want it as a job. They're signing up people who really do. This is one thing that I was thinking, man. Like, clearly, we need people to defend this country. We do. There's no way around that. We definitely need people to defend this country. In fact, I won't show it to you, but like,
yeah, defend the country.
I'll give you an example.
Defend this country, not offend another country.
Sam Harris just tweeted this awesome.
Actor.
Sam Harris is an author.
Oh.
He just philosopher. He's like this one of these like I don't know what the word for them is. Vocal, Dawkins style atheists. But he wrote a book about spirituality without God. But he also has a podcast and. Lately, he has been in the camp of people like Bill Maher who are saying that Islam is evil and that Islam is built into Islam is anti-Semitism. Built into Islam is the subjugation and enslavement of women. Built into Islam are all these things that if you take it literally, which is what the people who are in ISIS are apparently doing, it looks like ISIS. If you take in the same way that if you decided to start living according to the laws of Moses, that would look very violent and brutal in the sense
sacrificing animals all the time.
Yeah.
Stoning people.
Same idea, but
cheat too much and lie about it.
But my point is that he posted this thing where it's these two. I don't know what they are, what sect of Islam they are. I don't know what their titles were, but they definitely have their own little like Islamic talk show.
Yeah.
And in this really creepy, grinning kind of way, they're talking about why they hate the Jews. And they're saying, look, you don't understand. We don't hate the Jews because of the land that they live on. We don't hate the Jews because of Israel. We hate the Jews because we are taught as part of our religion that we must hate the Jews. So it's like what they're saying is this is not a fixable problem. It's not a matter of land. It's not a matter of shifting something geographically.
They took our birthright from us years ago.
This is – we have built into our religion the idea that we are supposed to hate the Jews. And the way they're doing it is in this beaming – smiling, grinning way.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that represents all Muslims, but the fact that
I don't even know the difference between Islam and Muslims.
It's the same.
Oh, okay.
But the fact that those motherfuckers exist in the world, right?
Yeah.
And that they exist in enough numbers that they're like taking over a nice portion of Iraq.
Yeah.
Makes me think, well, shit, we need people to defend
country.
Us
yeah,
from that
sure.
that kind of yeah, that kind yeah, of loony yeah. loony. Looney Tunes,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So we need that.
Yeah.
But
you know who else needs that?
Who?
Switzerland and England. And they don't go into other countries and just kill hundreds of thousands of people.
No, they don't. And I think that that's kind of the real, like, interesting problem that we face in this country.
Defend. We need people to defend us.
It's like if your dad.
Yeah.
Was somebody who was a contract killer who had in the last 10 years or so killed 18 to 1,000 very powerful mob bosses, right? Your dad did it. You didn't do it. Your dad did it.
Yeah.
You sat at the table and ate delicious food from the money he got from the contract killings. You got to enjoy a spacious mobster mansion for a long time.
But you didn't do it.
But the chickens are... You know that eventually the chickens are going to come home to roost because he made so many enemies that eventually one of them is going to want to kill you.
But it's not fair. It's like, well, talk to those other 17 people. But the 18th says, no, I think they should kill the kids too.
You know, your daddy actually killed.
He killed my kids. So,
I know you seem like a pretty nice guy.
You know, also a nice guy. My son Bobby. He wasn't even involved in the mafia, and now he's dead. So sorry, buddy. But
right. So that's kind of the predicament we're in this country.
I want your father to feel what I felt.
It's a predicament, man.
Yeah.
It's a predicament because when you consider, like, well, we have managed to piss people off in an impossible way. Yeah. Like, there's no way coming back. Like, I can remember once on the school bus when I was in the fifth grade. I don't remember what exactly I did. I think there were two rednecks.
Yeah.
And there were older redneck kids, or one of them was older than me, one of them was younger. I was a kid, but they were bullying me. And I think I punched one of these kids. I just, like, punched him. And a fight ensued, a scuffle. But his big brother, I remember, said to me, I'm going to kick your fucking ass one day.
Yeah.
And then I remember for the next 5 years.
Worried?
I would not only be worried, but, like, I remember, like, 4 years later, I was hanging out with some friends, and his big brother did what many rednecks do, is, like, he just fucking grew, like, some kind of gargantuan thing. He went from being someone who's already big to being this giant, ruddy-faced, fucking, like, vicious redneck.
Doyle rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just big. And I remember, like, hanging out with some friends. This might have been when I was in high school. So we've cut from elementary school to high school.
Yeah.
And I can remember being at a party, and one of my friends going to me, like, hey, man, I was out camping with Randy, whatever the fuck his name was. Dude, he wants to kick your fucking ass.
Still.
Still. There's no fixing it.
Yeah.
The ass-kicking potential was there, you know? So in the same way, it's like, all I did was punch his brother. We fucking vaporized people's generations of people's families over and over and over and over again.
Our public policy on drone attacks and fucked up drone attacks, like when they accidentally bomb a wedding party, just 13, 14 people who didn't do anything in Yemen, in a country that we're not really even in.
Yeah.
Their official policies, we don't discuss that, which is a smart policy, because then you get people like, that does bring the war home. They're like,
right.
What do you mean you killed a wedding party? Were any of the militants? Not one?
Yeah.
Even owned a gun?
Yeah.
What do you mean? So just let's just not comment on it, and no one will know about it. And then people will be more likely to support shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I do know what they're going to do eventually once the revolution gets started.
Yeah.
They're going to shut the internet down. Because the communication is the only way the revolutionaries can plan stuff. So they shut the internet down. Then they start going door to door. You have McCarthyism again, and people just start like, oh, that guy's a revolutionary. Even if you discuss, oh, the military is wrong, or the government's wrong in this, oh, you're one of them.
What do you
can't be one of the guys who say, well, I'm not going to pick up a weapon, I just think the government's wrong. Like, you're inciting them, you're part of them. They're going to go door to door, they're going to start arresting people who have nothing to do with it. There'll be camps. Nobody's going to give up
power.
That
is a dire forecast, Ari. Do you really see that coming? You know,
in our lifetime,
in general,
mm-hmm.
The
other option is that the people who are more and more not represented, the higher and higher percentage of the poor not getting the benefits of the riches, want to turn to voting to change it. And as it becomes more and more evident that voting won't change it, they go, what are they left with? I think it was Jefferson who said that if people aren't given the opportunity to make change through peaceful solutions, they'll make change through violent solutions.
Right.
So it's like, after a while, you just like, get off me! And you just slap.
Right.
After a while, it's like, hey, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. And then you just slap somebody off you. That's normal.
Right.
People, that's what that guy who shot up TSA was in LAX.
Right.
Enough of this. And I can't complain to anybody. No one's doing anything.
Right.
And then you just get violent. And you get more and more of those people out there. You get them talking at bars. They go, why do we accept this? And people go, no, voting's the way to do it. And you're like, when? When has it been the way to do it?
Right. Right, because voters feel disempowered. But what do you think about this new...
So then is the government just going to say, okay, you know what? We've taken too much power. Let's give some back. Let's take power away from big business.
What do you think about the FCC ruling that just happened?
I love it. But it took a lot of people to say, don't do this evil thing you're about to do.
Look,
and it's still going to happen, Duncan.
But
net neutrality is going to get taken away.
Look,
they're going to slide it in later.
But look. Look.
We've been fighting for 3 years on this, and we won by a 3-2 vote.
Yeah, but we won.
By a 3-2 vote, and it'll go to vote again, and it'll go 2-3 instead of 3-2. And then the fucking cable companies will have their power, and they won't relinquish it.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen, man. I don't think you're – because here's the thing.
We did the same thing with not being able to arrest citizens without trial.
I don't think it's going to
happen. And they said, okay, we're voting it down, and then they just –
They voted it in. It could happen.
Then they just voted it in later.
The thing that I do find...
We run. Everyone stop paying attention.
But you are seeing... What I love about the net neutrality ruling, aside from the fact that it worked, and that the voice of Reddit was part of what moved those people in the direction of voting in the way that they did, even though some of them already had the belief that the internet has to maintain fair and open... Just like Fox News, fair and balanced.
Fox News. Have equal.
By the way, hats off to Fox News, one of the top news networks in the world right now.
Okay, you say whatever you want, but their motto is not a problem.
What?
Fair and balanced is not the issue with Fox News.
Fox News is fair and balanced.
Whether or not they do it is the problem.
Guys, get off O'Reilly's back, would you? But get off his back.
I don't know about any of that stuff.
Oh, God, it's the best.
We'll get
into that in a second. But I do have a more optimistic outlook than you do, and I think the net neutrality ruling is... shows that as skeptical or cynical as you might like to be when it comes to the democratic process, and especially when it comes to the democratic process pre-internet, when you see things like that happen, which are at least partially a direct result of the power of the internet and internet communities coming together to influence the democratic process. Because goddamn, man, I watched that.
Yeah, Anonymous helps with stuff like that.
That's right, and I watched that.
And all you got to do is label Anonymous a terrorist group, and then anyone who says that they agree with Anonymous gets to go to jail.
Just and they're smart enough to fucking rename themselves.
Right.
They don't care. It's the point is though that what you're seeing is it still sometimes works.
Oh, and, sure. And even it's going to be a back and forth.
Exactly.
And by the way, I don't know who's going to win the revolution.
I just don't think the revolution's going to be violent.
It could happen just on the internet, just online.
I think the revolution is...
I could see that where they go, let's not stab a congressman. Let's tell everybody where he lives and say, egg his house.
Right.
You know? And that'll get enough people to go, all right, what's your guys' issue?
It's a boycotting.
Absolutely, you could do that.
A boycott machine. We need a boycott machine.
If that happens, let's say everybody say, hey, let's find that the senator who's trying to fuck us, who's clearly in bed, like Feinstein.
Yeah.
When she was like saying, we got to pull back the NSA, and then just gives them tons more power, and then you see like she worked for them and she's totally in bed with them, and like we're still trusting her to make their reform. Let's say everyone says she's a problem, and they say what we're gonna do is we're gonna find out her route to work, and we're all gonna take that way and make her traffic way worse, do something bothersome for her life, completely nonviolent.
Right.
Eventually she'll see it.
Yeah.
If you get the traffic terrible enough all around her, she'll see it. She'll feel it. She doesn't want that to happen.
Right.
That's their goal. Now, then it's on her to react.
Right.
So either she goes, hold on, let me see what these people are angry about. Or she goes, let me try to hurt these people.
Let me
try to stop them from doing it.
Yeah.
Not through saying, I'll give you some of your demands, but saying, let me put you in jail. I have the power to.
Right. Right.
That's what big people on World Star Hip Hop, like, yeah, you don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
You kidding? She's the same feeling. Her power is not in muscles.
Right.
Her power is just in she writes the laws.
Okay, yeah, right. I know what you're saying, but I think that this is the golden age of activism. And I think that activism does work. Activism does create changes. And guess what it does? Activism puts people in jail. That's the point of activism. The point of activism is that you are willing, civil disobedience, you're willing to break laws for a greater law. You're willing to put your life on the line in a nonviolent way.
And you got to hope you can get out of the country in time.
Verily.
Stay in a Russian airport for 6 months.
But he got out.
God, he was so careful. And all those people said he should have gone to the government. It's like, are you kidding me? Looking back now, should have gone to the government with what was happening?
Yeah. But he got out.
He got out.
And Assange got out. And there's a lot of people backing those people.
Sort of got out. He's a prisoner in a giant church.
He's a martyr.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, of course, that is the...
Can't have a normal life.
What is that great fucking wonderful saying, the Tree of Liberty? Have you ever heard this before, this saying? I'm sure you've heard this.
What is it? The Tree of Liberty is built on the blood of the...
Here it is.
What? Has roots.
The Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, must be refreshed from time to time.
You gotta feed that tree with blood!
Yeah, because it goes a certain way. It's like you have this ideal. Same thing with Mao and communism. We have this great idea that we're all equals. But then the people in charge, they're just people. And they'll start fucking up more and more and more. And I think it happens exponentially. The more they say like, oh, people won't do shit, then they start abusing the power more and more. It starts with a little bit. Those people get taken down here or there. When we grew up, I've heard of public officials getting arrested, but it happens less and less. They protect their own. Then it gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah, and you got to have blood. Take it back. Get back to the regular democracy, regular liberty, and then it gets corrupted a little bit, but over time.
You're talking about the those great videos that pop up every once in a while, horrifying, horrible to watch, where a fucking elephant realizes it's an elephant and just goes rampaging through the streets.
Yeah.
This thing has been, the little monkeys taught it that it was not an elephant.
Right.
It convinced it somehow that it has this powerless thing when it's giant. I don't know how much an elephant weighs, many, many, many tons. And that fucking thing, when they get just mad enough,
yeah,
they go nuts.
So who's the elephant?
And
the government?
You can't. No, the elephant is the people.
Right.
And so
they'll go on a rampage.
So what all tyrants forget is that the people as a whole are so much more powerful than any one individual. The people as a whole, they could do anything.
Yeah.
They're incredibly powerful. So if you divide them, if you create
It makes them less powerful.
Ridiculous divisions among them. It makes them less powerful. If you create one common enemy that they all have, imaginary or real, then you can actually, if you look at the biomass of the people, if you're a tyrant.
Let's all hate someone together.
Yeah, if you can find a thing for them to all hate together, then you can actually channel their energy in those directions and control them. So if you look at the people as a kind of gigantic animal that tyrants want to tame, domesticate, and use for their labor, use for their nutrition, use for their energy.
We don't have a tyrant. We have a net of tyrants wrapped around that elephant.
Well, yeah. Well, no.
They're working together.
Well, so it's like you sort of follow it up. I really love that, and I'm sure it's an oversimplification, but I really love the term follow the money. When people say follow the money, if you want to know why something happened, follow the money.
See who gets paid
from
it.
Who made the most money from it?
Well, that's the first person you should look at. Might not be always the person who did it, but look at that guy.
Yeah, it's like when you're at the fucking – when a mystery book – you know, the person you want to look at.
Who robbed the place? Well, who's spending a shitload all of a sudden? Who just got a new fucking car?
That's it. So you sort of like, so you look, okay, who's making money off war? Who's making money off of the suffering of the world? Who's making money off of the destruction of the world? And so you do that. You just like, all right, let's see who the six richest people on the planet are. And you look at those people. You find out who those people are. And usually somewhere in those people or their ranks of friends, then you might be able to find
they hire their own
this common enemy, right? You might be able to find, like, here's the culprit behind a lot of this is that there is a, as Paul Simon says in that stupid song, a loose association of millionaires and billionaires. These are the days of lasers in the jungle.
Diamonds on a soldier's shoes.
Miracles and wonder. Don't cry. You gotta, you know, millionaires and billionaires, right? They're friends, pals up there, just like we were talking about earlier, right? There's just a bunch of super, super wealthy people. Think about somebody who has $10 billion, right? Yeah. There are people out there who have $10 billion. Somebody who has $10 billion, $10 billion, right? Think of any congressman, any senator. Think about the friends of the congressman and the senator. Or think about anyone working at the businesses around the congressman. Imagine if you have $10 billion, right?
Yeah.
And you go and have lunch with one of these senators who is in a state where you're trying to get one of your fucking fracking
logging rights,
yeah, sure. Right? And you have dinner with him, you're sitting down, you're just talking, man. It's awesome. He's kind of excited, even though he's not going to act like it, because he's sitting with a billionaire.
Yeah.
You're talking.
It's a powerful guy.
It's a powerful guy. You guys are laughing it up.
I've seen him at the UFC when there's some super rich guy comes by. Everyone goes,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's pretty easy just to, like, in a smart way to talk to the billionaire about, hey, man, how's that blah, blah, blah doing? And you, the billionaire's like, well, not as good as I like. And you're like,
oh, what? Let me see what I can do.
Are you kidding? Let me see. I'd love to invest. And then the next
thing. I know a bunch of guys who work in that. Yeah, let me see what I can do. I'll put in a good word for you.
That's it. So you look at that, and you, there's the way the whole fucking thing
you
is.
You know who doesn't have access to that congressman? A garbage man.
No. No. But if the idea is if the people can figure out a way to turn back into the raging, focused beast that is the horror of all tyrants.
How are they going to figure out that way?
Through the organizing power of the super advanced technology that garbage men do have access to, which they didn't have access to 10 years ago. Don't forget, there's a whole brand new player on the scene, man, and that is the law of exponential returns, which is that at this very moment there is a technology that is completely, as far as we can tell, is not completely impossible to control, but mostly impossible to control. You have a wildfire of technology.
Yeah, but I don't want them to have control until way after I'm dead. Eventually they'll lose it, but it's like I kind of want to like have some fun here while I'm on Earth.
You're going to have some fun.
Here are the two options, too. You can be like Australians who just know that their government is crooked and said, you know what? We can't change it. Let's just drink. And they have a lot of fun with their lives, and they go on two-month vacations. When the government says, and I would do this, too, like, these fucking idiots in Arkansas don't know shit. I'll tell them what's best for the country. Trust me. I know what's best for the country. I've read everything. You don't know anything. So let me just lead it. But then you realize the people in Arkansas, maybe they don't want what you want. Maybe they just want a peaceful, fun life.
Right.
Maybe they don't want, like, to be in 72 other countries.
Well, look at the
maybe they don't want power and money. Maybe that's not their goal.
I think you're in too much.
It's like your agent telling you, like, I know what's best for you. It's like, dude, I don't want to go to Minnesota in January.
I think your pessimism is based on being in too much of a hurry. I think the machine that we're in is broken. Yeah. Pieces of it still work.
Pieces of it sure work. Absolutely. Local government works a lot.
It does fix itself. Marijuana is gradually becoming legal. Uh-huh. The prohibition on marijuana is being lifted. There's the potential that within 8 years, psychedelics could be prescribed. And with people gaining more access to psychoactive...
So you think then it gives the revolutionaries more power? It gives them more control? Like if it's an up and down of who has the power, it gives the people, the revolutionaries, the people, the more power, the more they know, and the more stuff gets out there.
The tyrant... The people in control. So if I have,
you become like the king of England, where you have no real power.
So let's imagine that you are a lion tamer, uh-huh. right? And you have a lion that weighs 6 times more than you, is 15 times faster.
You only have perceived control.
Designed to kill.
Yeah.
So there's some things that you want over this powers that you want over the tiger. You want to be in control of what it eats. You want to be in control of the information that it receives. You want to be in control of every single facet of that lion's life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the old days, if you look at this idea that the society is a lion, that the people are a lion, right?
Yeah.
And you look at this poor lion back in the 70s or 80s or 60s, that lion didn't know shit about what it was because the information coming into the lion was all being mostly controlled by a small group of people. And the information streams they were getting was coming.
Oh, but now the lions are like raised in the wild until they're like two.
Yeah.
And then hopefully in a few years, the more information gets out, it'll be like a lion raised in the wild till four.
Well, the lion's getting
eight.
The lion's getting
like,
the
you
information.
Can't tame me.
You're a lion.
Right.
The lion's getting information coming from everywhere that's like, you are a lion. Listen, here's the potential that you have. You are a lion. You have always been a lion.
But like, what do you do? I went to this Million Mask March in New York and they were all walking around saying, like, we did it. And it's like, people barely listen to the message.
Well,
you're
it's
just
not-
annoying people. But then it's like, what if they do hear the message? Then what can they actually do to change it?
Well, you just saw it, man. The fucking FCC just created a goddamn free internet. You just saw that.
You know what the reason for that was, too?
What?
Is all these other businesses said, no, you're protecting those businesses, but these businesses are going to be hurt by it.
That's right.
So and the businesses went to war with each other.
That's right.
And they used the people. They said, hey, and they both opened up the information. So what do you people think? Like, people think we agree with the smaller businesses over the bigger businesses.
That's right.
Or cable companies less than
cable companies,
Netflix.
These old dying old fucking dinosaurs who've been spraying us with their goddamn poopy content forever.
Uh-huh.
Those people are like watching. The last thing these fuckers want is the democratization of content. They don't want people to be able to decide what fucking content they want to watch. When you used to have a TV network, you just shotgun sprayed this nonsense at people.
Four, three networks, that's all there was. Whatever, like, there was. That's all you're allowed to watch.
You fucking watch, and then you have control of the entire paradigm when you do that. But this fucking lion, the lion of the people, not only is it suddenly getting access to all of these videos showing, like, how to become a wild lion again, how to escape from the cage, how to not fall prey to the mistakes of the other lions that wanted to
escape. Do you think Comcast is just going to stop trying to get that power back?
Nope. I don't think so, but I think they're going to become more and more irrelevant. That's what's going to happen. And here's another thing that you're forgetting.
They become irrelevant when we get a new way to get the internet around.
Bang! Yeah, and that's going to fucking happen.
But why
is that going to happen? Because there's
people say, like, we can't rely on these guys to give us fucking internet anymore.
Market pressures. Yeah. Market pressures,
people,
man.
People started getting fucking Dish Network when cable stopped, kept going out.
That's it, man. Market pressures are
Uber going. Popped up when cabs refused to take credit cards.
There you go.
No, I drive you to ATM.
Yeah.
Like, no, man, I'm already at my location. Yeah. I drive you to ATM. Like, just take my credit card.
There you go, man.
It's broken.
And that is the machine that we're in working. Market pressures will create, at this moment in time, completely unexpected.
So if Comcast wants to say, look, I've created this business that allows me to provide internet to people, who are you to say I'm not allowed to take money from Netflix to say, hey, can I get to the top? Because fucking supermarkets do it. Good shelves go to Coke and Pepsi.
Right.
Bad shelves go to Werner's.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's and that's a right that supermarkets should be able to have.
Yeah.
You sell the more expensive tickets at a stadium for more money, the ones closer to the field.
Oh, yeah. But the problem is that
so then you're saying that the people – I'm just trying to think this out. Then the people – well, citizens of the world – excuse me, customers will go, oh, fuck, man. And then some guy will go, hey, there's a problem out there. Here's a better solution. You can slingbox the internet from China or from wherever, and that might work.
At what's his name. I don't remember. I think it's Elon.
Put it in the air.
Who is it? It's not Elon Musk, but there is a – so when I went up to – in one of my podcasts, I just went up to Singularity University. And the whole point of Singularity University is the study of...
There was a place called Singularity University.
It's fucking badass. It's a badass place. And they study the law of accelerating returns, or they study the technology advancing. And one of the things that he was talking about was how, in the same way right now, what we're doing right now, this technology that we're using was formerly completely inaccessible to people who weren't millionaires or had big businesses. In the same way, like right now, if somebody said, hey, Ari, get a fucking satellite up there into space, would you? You think you can get a satellite up there into space? Like, fuck no, I can't do it. But these guys are saying, you know, in 20 years, kind of technology might be consumed, which means that
we're making losses too. Like 20 years ago, you weren't allowed in the United States to arrest someone without a trial. And now you are.
Yes. No.
They're making gains as well.
That is true. But here's the difference. In the old days in the United States, when you wanted to drag somebody to a black prison in fucking Chicago, right? Yeah. Which I'm sure happened. In the
you
old days.
You couldn't get the word out about it.
Instantaneously, the word spreads all around the planet. Woof! Shoof! All around the planet. Everyone's like, what the fuck, Chicago? In the old days, you could have some fucking guy in your basement fucking just shoving a goddamn leather pole into his asshole for having a gram of weed. You release him onto the streets. He like, the Chicago cops fucked my asshole for weeks. Right. So what? What it's going
to
be?
Who's going to listen to you?
Nobody cares.
But now video. That's why the cops didn't want anybody to shoot video. They're just fighting against it so hard.
But it's not working.
Yeah.
It's not working. More
and more precincts are going, right. We'll just use the video. Hey, cops, stop fucking around.
Yeah. So that's the way I see it. That's why I say you're in a bit of a rush, because you want things to change right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is, this is in a scenario where there isn't a major terrorist attack.
But like, you see what's happening with Uber in a lot of places? That's a good one. It's a market that just came out of the
Lyft.
Market. Airbnb, Lyft, these came out of a market that didn't quite satisfy what they needed.
That's right.
In a lot of these cities, the cabs have fought back and they've gotten the laws changed. So like here at LAX, you can't get an UberX. You can only get Uber, those limo ones, the big ones.
Right.
But it's like, why? We all want that there. And it's like the cabs have fought back. And they'll say, because of this and this, you can't let them do that.
Cabs are doomed. Cabs are doomed. They could do whatever. Anything that they do is just the pitiful.
You're saying it's just like you're just making delays. It's just a hurdle.
Temporary.
They will always jump over it.
Temporary delays because market pressure.
Like Napster, they were like, you can't do peer-to-peer. You remember the heyday of Napster? Of course you do. I was in college. You were in college.
Yeah, I remember Napster.
I remember going to shift. I had a shift, 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. But record stores would stay open. Tower Records stay open till like 1 on Tuesday, like Monday nights, Tuesday, because that's when the new records came out.
Right.
And so you can go get the Beck CD, the Alanis Morissette. I had both those CDs at 3 a.m. I got back by 3:30, burned with the cover, burned on these CDs. Because yeah. Remember those label makers they had too?
Yeah.
And they shut Napster down. They're like, nope. And they're like, cool, we did it. I'm like, no, you didn't do it. It's more than ever now. You just made them say, oh, I can't go straight to another pier. I have to go through a computer first and then.
Yeah.
Or we have to go straight to a pier. You can't go through a computer first. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. And man, here's where
you're just delaying it. I get it. I understand what you're saying.
Here's what's an even more beautiful thing, which I like to fantasize about, is that these market pressures, as they call them, are the thing that creates the demand for.
Market pressure is the thing that created demand for democracy in the first place.
Yes. There you go, man.
Yeah.
But the question is, and I'm sure there's
an. New forms of government.
I'm sure there's an.
But the old form of government. Doesn't just go away.
No, they fight.
That's the revolution.
They fight. But I this is what I like to believe. This is what I like to believe.
Yeah.
You know that.
That before it comes to a head, the term, we'll have such free.
Let's think of the term jihad. Right. Okay. Let's think of the term jihad. It's a cool term.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
term. Middle name.
It's what?
It's my middle name.
Your middle name is Jihad?
Yeah. All right, Jihad Shafir.
You shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
Let me see that.
Well, this is an expired dog.
How the fuck do you... I cannot believe they let you fly. It's David, you turd.
Oh, yeah. It's the most normal Jewish middle name. David. Oh, yeah. I can't believe you were going with that.
I'm like, Ari, you're going to end up in
I've known you for 50 years. You would have known my name is Jihad before fucking right now. Of all the times we've talked. What do you think is the biggest like nugget you can find out about someone like that late in a relationship? Like, what? Your father killed your mother? When did I not? What?
Jihad is a great word because it's this, you know, a holy struggle, right? So, or another way to put it is
holy struggle.
It's aligning yourself with. Here's the idea. What are market pressures, right? They're these invisible things.
It's an overall zeitgeist, overall feeling.
That rises within the heart of a person. It rises within a person. So I like to believe that this thing that is arising inside people, it actually is something that existed before people. That feeling that comes into it, people, that we call market pressures, is the capitalist way of talking about a force that of evolution that exists in the universe.
It's a capitalist way of talking, and you have new people coming in talking in a different language. Huh.
Yeah, I think that they've identified, this is what Kurzweil has identified, I think that they have identified something that exists in evolutionary symptoms that has as one of its, or in evolutionary systems that has as one of its symptoms what we call market pressure. And that really what it is the desire to be part of the exponentially accelerating movement in the direction of novelty and perfection that we're experiencing in the universe. And jihad would be aligning yourself with that principle.
It would
be
an accelerator.
Yes.
Being the first one to wear like wristbands before like the or cardigans before everyone started doing it.
Yeah. And all those who stand in the way of that exponential acceleration, all those who try to get in the way of this curve that's happening, all those that get in the way, not only will they be destroyed, decimated, and torn apart just by the sheer subjective gravitational forces that they're up against, but they'll also be taken down by the people, because the people who have aligned themselves.
Do you think militant Republicans feel the same way?
No, but that's why they increasingly
they don't feel like we're creating change for the better, and these people that are standing in a way will become irrelevant soon.
I think that
we want this police state. We can trust police.
We don't want gay people to get married. We don't want black people to vote. We don't want women to be able to vote. We don't want you look at
over the years
they get taken down. They get taken down. This is that Martin Luther King quote. What is it? I'm gonna the universe. Hold on, it goes.
But it's like in Libya, they let the people have the internet. They all got information and
look what happened to fucking
that didn't end nonviolently.
Well, no, it didn't. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about that we're going to avoid violence here. Hold on. There's this great quote. Okay, yeah, listen to this.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it...
Hold on. Sorry. Okay, sorry.
The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Mm. So this is the idea that that in that bend, that curvature that Martin Luther King has identified, has been identified by Ray Kurzweil. It's the curvature that happens in evolutionary systems that have accelerating returns. And that is what we're in right now, is a system that is producing accelerating returns, which is means that...
But it's, I guess, whose version of what justice is.
Well, no, this is what I'm getting to, man. It's not whose version of what justice is if we're talking about a transcendent principle.
Well, the percentage of people who would have believed, especially when I was growing up, my conservative or my Orthodox Jewish upbringing, if you're dealing drugs, like, yeah, of course you should be going to jail. They caught the right guy. That guy was dealing marijuana. But then later, my feeling is that guy shouldn't go to jail at all.
Right.
I should just, I don't know, get a store.
Yeah.
My parents might still feel the same way, but it's like more and more people start thinking like that guy shouldn't go to jail at all. But I don't know. I don't know if the percentages get better or if I'm just seeing those people.
Well, I think that the percentages not only are getting better, but they're getting better faster.
Yeah.
And I think that that...
Right. Super fast.
Super fast. And because it's like...
I mean, I was, but if I'm not being aware of any of this, super aware of a lot of the egregious things that big business has done to the law.
That's it. And that's just like the egregious things that big business has done. Those things that come out through documentaries on Netflix or those things that come out through legal means are also being are side by side with information that's being obtained surreptitiously by these, I think I mispronounced that word, but by people like Snowden.
You got it.
You're looking at whistleblowers, corporate leakers. So you're seeing that a lot of this stuff also, because the thing is, like, it used to be all of their secrets were kept in locked file cabinets in basements with armed guards. Now their secrets are being kept inside file cabinets that are accessible by anyone in the entire planet.
Once you get smarter.
Yeah. And they're yanking those secrets and they're disseminating those secrets through the world. And more and more and more, the people are seeing the actual shape of the lion tamer that's trying to keep us subjugated to the selfish whims of a small group of people who want to experience high levels of pleasure completely inaccessible to other people on the planet.
I think a lot of it, too, is, though, that that's true. I think a lot of it, though, is sometimes people get more conservative the older they get. And the people that were activists become the problem.
Yeah, you know, I suppose that's a potential.
There's very few Bill Waltons in the world.
Yeah, man, but the thing is, like, these kids that are coming up right now,
uh-huh.
their understanding of principles that when we were kids we had no understanding of, because when we were growing up, we were in a kind of low-level North Korean sea of propaganda.
Yeah, but
we
thought Woodstock marijuana was in the 70s, and those people, they're all in power now and out of power already.
Guess who?
One
of them's in fucking power right now. Fucking Barack Obama. And when Barack Obama's in power, no matter how much you hate the drone king and all the fucking weird secret...
He's the one that put in that we can arrest anybody whenever we want. He saw the NSA abuses and said, continue.
Yeah, but you know what else he's doing? And I'm not
he's
an Obama.
Legalizing gay marriage more.
And what else is being legalized, like, while he's sitting back there in the fucking... up there in the...
Some weed is...
Yes!
Yeah, that's
so you're looking... So, like... Listen, man, it may just be that some of these people figured out that if you want to fucking, you know, you're going to do little steps and awful compromises. I don't know. I'm not defending anybody who thinks it's okay to fly over a fucking city and bomb people with drones.
And just don't talk about it?
Yeah.
Arrest people and never have to try them?
An indefensible position.
Get voted down once, then say, fuck, we'll try again. We'll get it in.
Indefensible position, but here's another angle you got to look at.
But weed is legal? That seems like one of those, here, take this, you idiots.
I don't think so.
Because you're gay people, you go fine. Who cares? We're doing this awful thing.
Take this healing psychoactive substance that once it enters into your bloodstream makes you contemplate not only your own life in very deep ways and quite often compels you to improve or at least makes you feel kind of shitty about aspects of your life and put that in your bloodstream, oh people. Now, that it's not like booze where you drink the shit and you feel like you wake up in the morning and don't want to do anything.
So you're saying if you ingested this amazing thing, then you wouldn't be likely to grow up and vote in the power to arrest people and never try them.
I'm saying you're talking about
in Yemen and never say I'm sorry.
You're talking about marijuana getting into the bloodstream of the people, and you're also talking about the potential for psychoactive chemicals like psilocybin to be legalized within 8 years. And if you think that is not going to
What's 8 years?
This is coming, and I forgive me, people over at MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. But these guys are some of the people who are behind the study of psychoactive substances because formerly it was impossible to study these substances in any real way. Now we've got a lot of data that's not just coming from active studies being done with people using MDMA or psilocybin, but you also have all
baby
of these...
Baby step, then bigger steps.
But you have all this data from just like surveys of people who've been doing it for years and years and years, and you can look at like one of these studies just came out where they showed the difference in suicide rates and depression from people who have regularly have used mushrooms versus people who haven't, and people who have used these psychoactive substances seem to have lower rates of depression. I'm probably misquoting that study a little bit, but the whole point is you're looking at a country that had been put into a slumber by lack of information and lack of psychoactive substances. You're looking at what happened when those psychoactive substances entered the bloodstream of the people. That was what we call the 60s, which was actually a pre-show revolution where you saw this explosion of art. You saw this explosion of social movement.
And then they pulled back the psychoactive drugs
from the people. They sure did. But guess what? Not only is it coming back, but every time...
But now it comes back and also we can make videos about it.
Yes.
And be like, oh, no. You're not even... It's not even what you think.
Yeah.
You can see experience from tons of people and message boards about...
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
I'm an Aquarius.
Yeah, well, this is your age, friend. And you're looking at, I think you're looking at something that's going to make the 60s.
I would love that.
You're going to look at something that's going to make the 60s look like one of those fucking backyard inflatable bouncy house parties with a bunch of like greasy kids eating fried chicken and jumping around in the fucking thing. That's what the 60s are going to be compared to what's coming.
I have advice to the new people.
What?
As the psychoactives get bigger. Guys, come up with a new like fashion about mushrooms and stuff. Like those same pictures, like that, like on your base of
yeah.
your, like that was from the 60s. So don't just rely on the fashion from the 60s.
Yeah.
Get new stuff.
Yeah. Well,
it's
always
more relevant today.
We're always going to like rainbow colors, brother.
Okay, maybe, but not every time a kaleidoscope. Like, come on.
You're not going to get us away
that was
from
done.
Like, we like rainbow colors,
done.
Brother.
Yeah.
We like it. It's colorful. It's
colorful.
Pretty.
Colors are pretty.
Yeah, colors are pretty. You're not going to get away from that.
All
but
right, maybe.
What you are going to get to is the ability to use 3D printers to print out some of the insane geometries that you see during these dimethyltryptamine trips. You're going to look at like the ability to actually... One of Terrence McKenna's great and ridiculous dreams was that he thought that...
I'm about to do DMT for the first time.
He thought it might be possible to go into the DMT realm and actually bring back something from that realm, like pull something from that place and bring it here. Obviously, I don't know how much of that
sounds
is,
like Fringe.
Is that
it's all
Fringe.
About different dimensions and shit, but it's like it's all like you have to go to LSD in order to go to the other dimension. But it's like, yeah, you fuck up when you take something back.
You're not supposed to take something back.
Yeah,
never take something back.
Because then their weight on that dimension is less, and our weight is suddenly more.
Ooh,
now there's no more balance.
Ah, cool. Well, I think it's there's a potentiality where 3D
to bring something back.
3D printers become a nexus point through which the contents of the psychedelic mind emerge into this dimension, and from the seeing these like shapes and forms and runes and sigils and all the contents of the things that exist in the deep levels of the subconscious mind or the external astral plane, whatever you want to fucking call it, to suddenly see those things in this dimension existing in a three-dimensional shape or form. We don't know what that could do but we do know what happens when some of the information from those places comes into this dimension in the linguistic form, and that is that when people bring back the info from the DMT realm and they're capable and careful in their articulation of it, it can create some pretty profound social change.
Yeah.
So what about the structures there? What about the forms themselves? Are these things fucking alien machines? What if these are gears that we could actually bring back that could create shifts that we aren't even aware of? Who the fuck knows? But the point is, we are getting to a point, thanks to technology, where with greater and greater and higher definition, we can articulate the secret contents of the mind. And that, sir, is going to be your revolution.
I like
that. Or at
least
part of it.
I like that. That'd be wonderful.
But
that'd be great. It all comes down to how it's played out, I guess.
Well,
little things that happen that make people madder or less mad.
There is one little problem.
What?
Proliferation, nuclear weapons, biotech, and a small group of fucking lunatics in the world who would destroy the entire planet than experience any form of techno-utopia, especially one that involves
outliers,
the sacrifice and abandonment of religion. That's one thing people want to do. The sacrifice and abandonment of national borders. The sacrifice and abandonment of all ridiculous theologies, theocracies, political systems, all forms of power structure that have limited and
people that go fuck, burn it all.
Yeah, just blow it up then.
Yeah.
We'll guess what? We'll climb out of the fucking ashes, and all you goddamn Redditors and internet people, good luck for surviving in a collapsed society,
motherfuckers. When we shut down the roads.
Yeah. It's like the roaches. If the roaches in your house realized that you were about to fucking spray the whole thing and get rid of them, they're like, you'll just burn your fucking house down, motherfucker, and then we'll still be fine and you'll be fucked. Because we're roaches. We're cockroaches. We don't care. We don't want we don't want the things that you
Sounds
want.
Sounds like the improvs.
What do you mean?
They set up in the corporate improvs. They set up in a town where there's a mom and pop comedy club that's been there forever. And they go, we'll operate at a loss for years while we take half your business.
Oh, that's fucked.
And put you out, then we'll be the only club in town. Guess what? We have we have 30 other ones that can support us.
Right. But that
is not the individual improvs, but the corporate ones are like that. That's their goals.
But that's a problem, man. That is a problem because
7-Eleven are those mom and pop shops in fucking the East Village. All those bodegas. 7-Eleven comes in and says, fucking, you'll be gone soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one of the little bits of that's a bit of fucking poop in the machine here, man. Is that you got that ability for people to do that in various ways. And for me, it's just the worrisome thing. Though I hope it won't happen.
What? That violent revolution?
Okay. Let's imagine
uh-huh.
a small group of people as a last resort.
I mean, if they all
back them in the corner, right? And as a last resort, or not even as a last resort, but just as a viable option, all they got to do is like detonate a dirty bomb
mm-hmm.
in any of the major cities of the United States.
Yeah.
Pin the detonation of that dirty bomb on any country that you want to create a fake enemy. Mm-hmm.
Just try to, yeah.
And now you have created the what would be the precursor to the thing you're talking about, which is a police state where freedom of speech gets curtailed.
Limited. Yeah.
And so then you realize like, oh shit, not only is there loonies running around the Middle East who have a real strong desire to pull something like that off.
Yeah.
But if we believe that there are nefarious agents that exist in governments of the world or outside of governments in the world who's sold motivation is to have power over the most number of people and to extract and harvest the energy from those people in the forms of money, then now you have two groups that exist in the world who have a desire to detonate or to pull off a massive attack in the United States. Not just one, you have two, which means that...
Oh, right.
So,
outside forces and inside forces.
Yeah!
Yeah.
So now you're in... Now it's like, shit, man, not only do we have people outside of us that would like that to happen, but there's people inside of us who, if they knew it was going to happen, they might not want to stop it. They might want to let it happen. And a lot of fucking truthers say that's what happened with September 11th.
I was in New York when that guy from Baltimore went up and shot two cops in their car, sitting in their car, because of Eric Garner and because of what happened in Ferguson.
Right.
And I think his thing, I think he said, they kill one of ours, we kill two of theirs. Or he might have said, they kill two of ours, we kill two of theirs. I don't know. But it was the NYPD. He took a train up from Baltimore to kill two NYPD officers.
Yeah.
And the reaction afterwards from the people was not that of outrage. Like when two cops get killed, two innocent cops. They were just sitting there. They didn't do anything. These guys weren't the problem. They were just sitting there in their cop car.
Yeah.
They weren't the problem. They're part of an organization that has problems.
Yeah.
So then they kill. And then now the reaction is they can either go, well, now we're going to fucking clamp down on anybody. Anybody looks at us wrong, we're going to beat the fuck out of. Or they can go, let's start wearing fucking, I don't know, let's stop beating people up. Let's say when we don't put people in chokeholds, we actually don't put them in chokeholds.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just see it happening more and more. The outliers are the ones that fucking...
Well, that's what we have to worry about.
They start the violence off.
That's, brother, that's the spooky thing that this guy at Singularity University said is that...
I commend their bravery.
He said that accelerating... Whose bravery do you commend?
The people willing to put their life in danger to fucking... Because they're so mad about this injustice.
Well,
I don't think they're smart. I don't think they've thought it out.
Here's the problem, their bravery, man. I used to think like that.
They have that more than I do.
I used to think like that, too. And I would have these... And this is when I first started meeting these Ram Dass people. And sometimes I still think like that, but... And I remember I was always like, we got to fucking fight back. Burn it down. Burn down the house. Fight back.
Well, those are the grunts. That's what's going to happen.
Us or them.
Yeah.
But in the same way that if you go back and look at the predictions for our time period, like back in the 30s or the 40s, nobody, as far as I'm aware, even though there's some, like... There's a Jesuit priest named Teilhard de Chardin who kind of predicted the internet in a weird way. Mm-hmm. But usually when you look at the drawings of what the future looks like, it's really funny. Like, you know, like Victorian era future predictions are like...
It's also flying cars and everyone's out. In reality, probably no one's out.
Carriages will fly, you know, but they're using like their highest tech and then just applying to the highest tech.
Yeah.
Like... what they would like to see happen, right?
Yeah.
So, or the carriages would not have a horse, but it's still like the way the carriages look. They don't look like fucking cars, you know? Like, so in the same way, they didn't predict the internet. They didn't see this unifying technology that emerged out of nowhere and that which is profoundly and continues to profoundly shape business and society. So in that same way, man, I think that we have to open up ourselves to the potentiality of the emergence of a new form of revolution that does not involve participating in the same acts of violence
that they set up for us.
Yes, because the moment you do it, it's matter and antimatter.
And what you say is pretty much just wait and it'll get taken care of. You're rushing it, you're going to fuck it up.
I'm not saying wait. I'm saying be vocal as you can using the technology that we have at our hands to at least put out there the idea that if we all work together and if we all focus our internal desire so that it creates a market pressure, then maybe we can summon out of the ether a new modality that does not make that is even more effective than the standard practices of revolution, which are generally violent.
Right.
Maybe we can come up with
I think in their terms.
Because
I heard Howard Stern talking about podcasts and why they're irrelevant. And he goes, that's not the way to become a fucking radio guy. You got to train at these stations. And you're like, no, dude,
so
that's not their end goal.
Their end goal
is not to get their own radio show.
Yeah, you crazy.
He goes, these kids, these idiots, these losers, they don't know how to go out to break. They don't know how to do a segment. Like, segment? Break? What are you talking? We don't even think in those terms.
It's so ridiculous what he said that it's almost sweet because this is this idea. Like, first of all, it's sweet because Howard Stern thinks.
Oh, he's a cute old man.
Yeah, there's something sweet about it. First of all, Howard Stern thinks that people in the world actually want to, like, wake up at 3 a.m. every morning to do a fucking radio show.
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that life. Number one, nobody wants that life. No one wants to get cooped up in a fucking radio studio constantly. No one wants to be a workaholic like you, Howard Stern. Nobody wants that. You know what I would like?
What?
His interviewing skills. That guy is a great fucking interviewer. No doubt about
sure
that. He was. He's good, man. But, yeah, he's ridiculous because he's completely underestimating, misapprehending,
just not understanding what would be the value there,
or allowing his desire for the way He's letting.
It's like when people look to skateboarding. It's like, ugh, what are these kids? It's not gonna. It's like, right. Oh, well, seeing what people do like out of it. What people like.
Yeah. You can't imagine the changes that are going to happen in the next few years. And because the changes are happening, it's so important to even more so today. If you're putting information out there.
To be right.
To be right, but also to encourage acts of civil disobedience that don't involve blowing the fucking brains out of people who have moms and dads and kids and a life. And more than likely, man, they didn't fucking wake up in the morning and think, let's go shoot some fucking
And the problem is senators and whatever, even like Philip Morris executives, they're not looking at the actual deaths and saying, I did that. They're just like, nah, it's numbers. People get canceled, people don't.
And their friend.
Yeah, and then it's like, you're not evil. You're just not really seeing the actual damage
that's
you're
it.
Doing. So you need to be shown.
Let's see that. Let's see them for what they are. Which is like, instead of painting everybody in the visage of
they're evil, we're not. It's like, we're all evil.
Yes!
We all be there in that position.
Become how about
a lawyer,
this?
Then all of a sudden you're working for some client.
How about this? We're all doing the best we can.
Yeah.
How about that? We're doing the best that we can, and God damn it, we're going to figure out a way to do, in the same way.
Not that, kill you, take you out of power.
We're going to figure out a way to do it.
Take you out of power, a different way, other than violence.
We're going to figure out a way, maybe not even to take you out of power, but to transform you from the inside out and keep you in power.
Sure, that could be that.
What about that?
Steve Simone, I like what he says. He goes, he always votes for against the incumbent when he votes, because he's like, you haven't done it, you haven't changed anything, so you're done, next.
Yeah, right.
Next guy, give it a try.
Keep the wheel turning, man. Yeah. But I think that, like,
I don't know if the new guy's going to do anything, but I know the old guy won't, so goodbye.
And bring that idea, man, if you bring that sense of optimism into your own life and imagine maybe that there is the potentiality at any given moment in your existence for some new bit of information or new epiphany to emerge into your mind that completely and radically transforms your approach to your existence in a way that puts you in a heightened level of happiness than you ever had in your life, then maybe it'll come. It's better than going around and thinking, things have always been this way, things are always going to be this way. Because that line of thinking, not that you think like that, but some depressed people do, that line of thinking is the old school line of thinking, which is that 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. But we exist in a system of accelerating returns, not just in an outside universe, but in an inside universe.
It's not 2 + 2, it's 2 × 2.
Times.
Which at once equals the same thing. 2 × 2 and 2 + 2 is the same thing.
Yeah.
But then times 2 again.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing the difference.
Or times 4.
Now it's 8 instead of 6.
2 × 2 is 4 times 4 times 8 times 8 times 64 times 64. Right. Do that math.
Square it, yeah.
And that can happen. And when that fucking crazy expansion happens, and guess what? It already did happen. You know what? When it happened the first time? The big fucking bang. This nice goddamn super collapse singularity exploded out into time, and we are particles that came from that initial boom. It fucking exploded out, man, and it exploded out fast. The initial expansion of the universe, theoretically, and they don't know, of course, they're just all theoreticals. Who the fuck knows what that was?
Yeah.
But it may have expanded faster than the speed of light. It was such a massive explosion. In the same way, this thing that we are approaching, it could happen just as quickly. It could be just as explosive. And that means that the intention of every living sentient being on this planet, if the intentions are off, then you could actually shape or form this massively accelerating thing. It's like having a chimpanzee on the steering wheel of a fucking Ferrari going 200 miles per hour. You want to
did a bit in my new special about non-violently protesting the TSA.
How does it go? Well, I don't want you to give it away.
Just like the things you can do or say to lie to them or fuck with them in some way.
I've seen you do it.
Feel you're like you're not part of the problem. Not accepting it.
You know, I was thinking about, I saw this amazing, remember, I don't remember back when that fucking awful piggy pepper sprayed those college students. Remember that?
Yeah.
So, and do you remember the protest against the dean of the school? Did you see that awesome protest?
I don't know.
I should show it to you, but they all gathered where she gets off work, kind of what you were talking about. And I believe that they sat there, and as she walked to her car, they just silently watched her. But it's so many students just sitting there, and the silence is just like thick. And this woman walks out shamed with all these students just quietly watching her, not saying anything. And I was thinking, like, yeah, maybe that's the answer to the TSA, is you get the majority of people as they're going through the TSA to not look at them or talk to them, you know, to not say anything to them, to not acknowledge them, to alienate them, or to give them a feeling of like, we are going to, in this game, that you are forcing us to participate in,
yeah.
our participation is going to be as minimum. We are going to participate in the most minimum way, in the smallest way, in the so that these people don't even, it, you know, that would gradually wear on you, I guess. It would wear on you, you know?
Maybe, but then they just hire new people.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to the fucking TSA problem.
The point is, though, it's like nonviolent protest is cool. It's fun. It's fun to do. You feel like you're doing actually doing something.
Way more powerful, man. Way more powerful. And though, and historically, nonviolent protests have done some pretty incredible things in this country.
Shroomfest is here. It's August 29th through 31st.
Yeah! Coming up. Well, not really. It's kind of far away.
When is this coming out? When do you put these out?
When is Shroomfest?
August 29th through 31st.
I'm probably going to put this up tomorrow.
Well, then people should work now on getting their supplies for Shroomfest.
Oh, yeah.
You don't wait till last minute. That's what everybody does. Like, oh, I can't get any.
Do you have a website for Shroomfest dedicated to Shroomfest?
Yeah, if you Google Shroomfest Primer, you'll see like everything you've ever wanted to know about shrooms.
Ari, what
you
else?
Ever read that? Have you ever read that?
I haven't read it yet.
Did I get it wrong? Oh, okay.
I haven't read it.
Okay.
What else is going on, Ari? Where can people find you? How can people see you? Talk about your new show.
My new show. This is not happening. Duncan did one of them. It's not a new show, actually. It's been around for 5 years, but we did some for TV and the internet. Yours has now, I think, the second most hits.
That's amazing.
Maybe third.
That's crazy.
Yeah, up there.
That's crazy.
I told you. I mean, I was like, it's going to get 100,000 hits. You're like, no way. Now it's got 200,000.
Whoa. That's yeah. amazing. Hare yeah. Krishna. Thanks, you guys, for watching that.
Yeah, and you did a fucking cool job of it too.
Well, that's because of your encouragement, Ari. You're really good at directing that thing, and you're really good at, like, remember when I called you and went through the thing uh-huh. with you? You're really good yeah. at that producing that show, man, because you put me at ease. You made it so that, like, you know, you it's like something like that. If you do stand up comp for me, if you do stand up
outside the box,
it's outside the box, and it's that's a little creepy to do something that doesn't have the normal punchlines that you're used to.
And I've done this 75 times. I know how this goes. Yeah. It's harder when you don't.
Harder. But it was fun, man. It's a cool show, too, man. It's so great that Comedy Central.
Yeah, I got to do a better job of that, actually. I talked to them when we had a year-end, like, talk. And it was like, I need to talk to more comics about,
you do.
Like, work through with them. I feel bad about, like, you're my good friend. Ren Aziz is my good friend. I don't mind talking to you. Like, hey, so how you doing? Let's talk as colleagues. Other people, I felt like I was, like, infringing on their creative process and, like, assuming that like I can help. I don't know, it just felt wrong. But
no,
now I gotta,
man,
like,
you never felt like that, aren't you? Your directing was always like, do what you want, but then it's also like, here's how to make it more concise, or here's how to
right.
you know what I mean.
I don't think you need this part,
yeah,
it just kind of distracts them.
It's cool, like right. you're good at cutting out fat, and I think people are kind of out of their element when it comes to storytelling, especially comics, you know, only yeah. only in the sense that, like, even though comics are storytellers, it's like that kind of storytelling is different.
Yeah. Some people are really good at it already. Big J, Joey Diaz, Jay Larson.
The storytelling comics.
Yeah,
you know?
They just know how to do that so good.
Joey Diaz is such a great storyteller.
Yeah.
But, man, also there's the added pressurized, like, for me, man, it's like when I'm doing shit in front of cameras like that,
yeah.
it's heavy, dude.
I tried to set it up so it didn't feel, it just felt like a show instead of a taping.
It did feel like a show, but it still felt kind of, it was, it's
still people putting a mic pack on you. When
there's
like,
no way around yeah. that. It's always going to be pressurized, but it's a cool thing the way you do it. You know, it actually reminded me of the way Derek Waters directs Drunk History. It's a kind of similar approach, which is this, like, it's not like he's like, he, like, just lets you feel like you can do anything. He lets
right.
you feel like whatever's coming out of you is going to be just fine, because he knows that's going to put you in the mind state where the best is going to come out.
Dude, JP did this for me before I did Conan. He was like, hey, if you want to go into the crowd, like, if something happens, you should do that. And I was like, okay. He goes, and they're going to give you, like, countdown every 30 seconds, let you know when you're done. He goes, you can, don't worry that much about that.
Wow.
He was like, don't go crazy, but, like.
That's cool.
And I was like, all right. It just made you feel more free.
Yeah.
But also, I have a new special coming. My last special. They're airing it March 13th on Comedy Central.
I thought they already aired it.
This is the one I did 2 years ago.
Oh, cool.
That
okay.
was like out of print. So
great. That's coming right up, you guys.
But it's
watch
every
it.
Thursday nights. Is this not happening? Rogan's is coming up. Segura's.
You got any road dates coming up?
Diaz. Yeah, I'll be in Portland next weekend and at the Helium. And then Brea and Sacramento.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to Australia, fuck around, and go to Thailand too after that.
Glory. I hope Bennett is out there listening to this and will entertain you as a guest.
I want to go all around China. I want to do some shit in Thailand.
Oh, man. Thailand looks like a hoot. I've always wanted to go there. Beautiful out there.
They tell me about these full moon parties. They tell me all these cool people in Hong Kong. And they expose, like, oh, there's some cool shit out there. I want to do it.
Well, Thailand people, reach out to Ari. Follow him on Twitter. Watch This Is Not Happening. Watch his special.
I want to shoot a rocket launcher off an elephant.
There you go. Make that happen for my sweet friend. Thanks for coming on the show, Ari.
You're welcome, Duncan.
A big thanks to Ari Shaffir. Go to his website, arishaffir.com. And thank you, squarespace.com, for supporting this podcast. Go to squarespace.com and get 10% off your first purchase with offer code Duncan. That's 10% off your first purchase. Make sure you give yourself a back rub, buy an electronic massager, and if you have the dough, get a massage chair for your mom. She's gonna love it. It's gonna rub her whole body in ways you never can. See you next week.